With that, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce Perry A. Vaiselli, who Perry's ever experienced in the home.
You know. So, I honestly wasn't sure I was going to be here tonight. I kind of got a little pushed up with the dates, and I was actually asked my friend Dan to switch until July. But you know what? I've been talking to Bill and my other friend Sandra. He would get it over with, and it might not be the message I wanted to be up here and sharing. However, I'm just going to tell the truth and maybe hopefully try to get something out of it. Public speaking is not my favorite thing, so forgive me if I'm a little nervous. At any rate, so yeah, I celebrated 5 years of no alcohol on October 5th of last year. It was really truly is a miracle past my family. My dad super super proud, and really I'm not proud of myself because I would not even have had sobriety if it weren't for being introduced to God, and truly that has been the most amazing experience. Like I just words can't even express how transformational that has been. Although the past few months I feel like I've been maybe a little bit more spiritually sick, and that is to not participate in any meeting. Going to my home group has been the primary service group on Thursday night book study on Bridge Street. And so Stephanie Blackman, what it has been, I mean, four years and 2 months is my clean date for a drug. I just want to share that. So a little over 4 years ago, I met Stephanie Blackman there. And she told me, God is. And I didn't. My whole life, my dad was atheist and he's Christian now, but we never went to church. So I never was able to know God by any means. And that was apparent looking back on my whole life that I didn't know God and I didn't have a relationship with Him because of my my choices and my just destruction of my life due to alcohol and using alcohol. So Stephanie, she said, well, you know, I'm gonna introduce you to God, and because the first time you can't call me, like really who was there to have guidance for us, you know, questions about success or, you know, or just anything. And that didn't make sense to me at the time. And probably took at least like a year or two to really have like a spiritual experience after going through the steps with her. Going through the steps, the primary purpose way really was, it's kind of a bit more of a rigid way of doing things and a very, which is good for me because I ended up getting to learn that way. And we went through line by line every week I was there at her house. Like, I always wanted to be able to get out of something or make an excuse to get out of something. And still might, I know. But I was always at her house and every week. And it was an amazing experience. And her husband, Teddy, was also influential in my sobriety, and I'm just totally grateful to them. So, like I said, I haven't been going to meetings so much lately. It's been a little bit of a rush. I haven't, I'm still sober, but sometimes, you know, I'm sick of the term dry drunk. Like, I do feel like I maybe have a little depression, and I'm not spiritually fit. Like, I know how it feels to be spiritually fit, and I know I am able to English decision. So I am grateful, you know, Dan, I do work with Dan, that's my friend Dan over there, and he was translated. So I work with him a few days a week. And he's doing a little AA time, and, you know, I took him to Vegas over to pick up a TV this afternoon. So we do talk AA when he goes traveling in church, and So I do have that, but it's not the same as going to a home group meeting every week. And I was a counselor for a few years, and so that I think I kind of stopped going to meetings. But I was able to help other women and share my experience with my clients and hopefully make a difference in their life. And that's really, and I'm going back into that and studying my exam, and I will go back into that hopefully in the next few months. But, I'm all over the place. I'm happy to be here, and I'm glad I'm just going to get it over with. I want it to be over like now. But I am so glad that I did come. And yeah, alcohol has always been a huge thing. I would, all my relationships, I think I have four like significant relationships, and they all ended because of my abusing alcohol. And a couple of those other things involved as well. And that's bad. I'm 48, and I look back too, and I'm like, gosh, it just gives me that sticky feeling in the pit of my stomach, thinking about all the damage and all, what could have been. I could have been married, like my sister and everybody else with kids. And I think that me not having a spiritual sense at all and having AA in my life a long time ago, it's fascinating, but I'm grateful to know it now. So anybody here that's young, seriously, just go full throttle into it and get a home group and a good sponsor, and it's not worth it to ruin your life and not have joy in your life because of the choices by using alcohol and other things. For me, so then maybe ask me a question.
So Carrie and I have done this before, and it's kind of worked out really well to do kind of an interview type of format. So I've known Carrie for quite a long time.
Yeah, I will say this too. Bill is very instrumental in my recovery too. He really got me into service at the Valley Group, and having that commitment every Wednesday, going up on stage and passing out chips, I need that accountability. For some reason, I don't think my mind doesn't work. I sometimes need someone to just push me in that. I wish I was a self-starter, but unfortunately, that's really not who I am. So having that accountability for me has been vital,
So I've known Carrie during a period. I too struggled with sobriety and relapse, and I got to watch Carrie struggle through some of that. And so one of the questions I guess I might ask you is, going through that period where you're going to meetings, and you tell us your story, right? But for me, I couldn't keep doing life the way I was doing it. And that's the only reason I really went to meet. And I had all of the people around me, and the gig was up, right? Everybody knew that I had a drinking problem. Everybody in my family, everybody in my life, they knew I had a drinking problem. And so they made conditions of me to come for holiday gatherings and such that they wanted to know that I was going to the meetings. And I still have a resentment for some of the people who put those ideas in their minds. But anyway, can you tell us a little bit about your experience in that phase? Because I know you were coming to meetings and you were struggling to stay sober, but you kept coming to meetings, right? Yeah. Tell us a little bit about that and how did that turn into, what's now, years of sobriety.
And I had just broken up with my ex-boyfriend, and where I was living was a very dysfunctional place, not conducive to any person who's trying to stay sober. And so being there was just was awful. I was hiding my using, drinking, and the lady who owns this building, Sandra, really is the one who saved my ass. Like, she went through there one day, literally, this was all one day, drove there. I got all my stuff that I needed, and she took it back to her house. And I lived there with her and her husband for a few months until they bought their own house. And that's what really, like, getting out of that environment and going, having assistance, going to meetings, like, that's what really helped me. Like, just having that consistency and wanting, I just knew, like, I couldn't do it anymore. Like, I was already getting old. I mean, like, 45, and, like, and that was old to me. So now, like, and ask Shannon, I go on my age all the freaking time. I'm like, oh my gosh, I can't even afford Botox. And so, yeah, so just having, like, and Stephanie was really vital. So, yeah, Stephanie, I'm working with Stephanie, and you go into my home group every Thursday, and working with her every week, and living in that sober environment with Sandra, and knowing that I didn't want to disappoint my sister and most of all, my niece and nephew. Like, I was already, like, away from my niece and nephew for probably like 5 years. Like, it's gonna be 5 to 7 years, and so I didn't want that to happen.
So you got a little bit of a break from where you were living, which wasn't conducive to sobriety,
right?
And now you're staying with somebody who's sober. You're, I mean, because a lot of us don't have friends to just take us in, right? I mean, like, I ended up in a treatment place. That's where I needed to catch my breath, right? And so, did you stay sober since you moved in with those people and met those people, or were there some struggles still?
No, I stayed sober since then.
Okay. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Fantastic. So that says a lot for how you...
Even though, like, I've been stayed sober, but like I said, I've gone through this period in the recent past to where I just am not spiritually, like, fit. And then that's you. Like, that can really, like, go down with, and that could take me on a different path. You know, I don't want that to happen.
Where are you living today? In the same place?
No, I'm living with another sober person, actually, okay. In a really good environment, and she's been amazing too, with Anne. And so that's been great. And, yeah, so that's really helped me too. And just having, even going and working with Dan, like, you know, having something to do rather than being bored. Just being bored is really like a big trigger too. I have my dog. I'm not married. I've never been married. I've had an ex-fiance in Napa where I used to live. We drink obviously a lot of wine in Napa, so I have big alcohol issues there. So I just have my dog, and it's kind of like I'm so used to being single now, and again, I always said, well, there's somebody out there for you, and I can't even imagine that right now. I think I need to be more spiritually. I'm just happy with myself, you know, and be going to be more, which that's my plan. This is a big step for me, but it really is.
Yeah. So, did you have any experience with a sponsor, and I'll say, and the steps, prior to this term of sobriety?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So,
no.
So the first time you had experience with the steps, you've stayed sober since then.
Right.
That's not my story. I followed around. I know today that my experience with the steps was really very begrudging experience. I met with good guys and answered some questions and read some stuff just to placate them, to get them off my neck.
Right.
But since I've actually, you know, applied myself to that work, I kind of stayed sober. But so that says a lot. That's one thing that's different for you in sobriety.
Well, I will say though, so I did those two. I went to the division 2006. And it's over when I left there. But I didn't have a sponsor really. Like, Sandra was working with me a little bit, but I wasn't obviously ready to take over. So I did go back out for like 6 months. But when I started working with Stephanie.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you got started with the steps and what did that look like mechanically?
I got introduced to the steps at the primary purpose meeting on Thursday at the Bridge Street. And what it looked like for me is just, you know, like step one, and then you're powerless. And that's step one we actually worked on for twice a month. Like, that was the way they do it there. They really want to make sure. I felt like I was arguing with my sponsor, like, often, like, to try to convince them that I was not. You really want to be clear that you're alcoholic, you know? And, I went to Stephanie's house every week, and every week, like, I pretty much had, like, a spiritual experience. The way she explained the steps to me was amazing, like, the development and, you know, all of the relatability was relatable, yeah. In a big way.
So how did you go through the steps? Did you sit down with Stephanie, your sponsor, and read? So that somebody give you a couple of examples of things I've learned through. I've had a sponsor who's taken me through the reading, and as we got to something in the book that's talked about an action related to the steps, then we took that action then. And we would continue reading through that process until we got through all 12 steps. I've also had sponsors give me questions to answer and pages to read. What did your experience look like?
So my experience, I had a workbook. I don't know if any of you guys are familiar with the primary purpose way of doing this stuff. But so we would read like a couple pages every day or every session, and she would assign me an assignment. So I would go home before and have this all done. Like you write in pencil in your big book, and then you you write, like, it tells you, it actually tells you what to write. And so it's just, that's the assignment that we had every week. And then that's probably the step four. It was very intricate. Like, we should have you write down all my character defects. And so that was it's been a while. Like, I should have, okay, I wish I had more time to prepare for this. I probably would have, like, was it my stuff too, but I can't tell you the way she did it, the way she worked with me was, she's amazing, like, she's just amazing, like, amazing.
Okay, so I'm going to help you a little bit, because I know what you did, because I've done the same thing. I've had other experiences as well, but what she's talking about is there's a book called The Big Book Awakenings, and it was put together by a guy named Dan Sherman. He's passed away now, but he was a longtime member of AA down in Southern California. And Dan had an experience that's actually similar to some of the experiences I've had, where I've tried to read that book by myself, and it just felt like it was written in a foreign language. It was like some of it was Shakespearean, right? And some of it was just Greek. I mean, it just didn't make a lot of sense. And so what Dan did was he kind of organized his experience in learning about the book into a book that's just called The Awakening. It consists of pages of notes that they have you write in the margin and in the between the letters.
I mean, yeah, I wish I would have brought my book because it's like, it's pretty cool. Like, it's very written on.
Yeah. There's no white left on the page, right? I mean, everything is filled in. And there's also some forms that you can use, for example, with the fourth step. There's some forms that he's created that kind of help you. And what Dan was trying to do with that was to create a way to give somebody the experience that the book was intended to give them, but that oftentimes is missed because we don't understand the language of 1937-38. So the Big Book Awakening is the one that you used. And have you gone through all 12 of the steps? Okay.
I probably have a couple of amendments. And I still have a couple of colleagues still. And those are grade 5, like grade 5 amendments. But I did, and that was very scary for me to do my first assignment with my dad. I even called Ted, like, right before I did it, and I was like, I'm so nervous, I don't know if I could do this. And really, like, just, you know, pray before, and then he had kind of helped me outline, like, how, let me do the best way to approach it. Like, I'm sorry for X, Y, and Z, God willing, it will never happen again, and is there anything I can do to, you know, to help you heal? And so I do, last few months I don't, but I pay my dad $50 every month. It's part of my,
Okay. And so we kind of jump right into it next. So can you tell us about maybe an experience with step nine that maybe went differently than you thought it might? Like, did you have some kind of idea about what was going to happen?
Yeah, that totally stands out. Actually, I just did this last summer, and that was my parents' neighbor. That was a big one for me because, I mean, like, 10 years ago, Sarah and I had a television, and I befriended my parents' neighbors, and I ended up healing her pills, you know? And so one day, I got caught. Basically, my hand is just sharp, and it was the most humiliating, like, degrading, demoralizing thing I've ever gotten to happen. And I hadn't talked to them in literally, like, 10 years. Hopefully, I've seen them, but, like, not even high or anything, because they're very hurt. Like, I'm really, especially after the village, very, very bad. And so last summer, I sent them a letter, and I put $200 in there because I'm sure they had to, like, pay for some of that soul. And he came to me after he got the letter the next day. I found him in my parents' garage. I was staying there for the summer. My mom's calling home was in Minnesota. And he was like, we really appreciate that letter and it made all the difference and we forgive you. And wow, like, what an amazing. I have no idea, like, how freeing that was. And that was the one I truly thought that he, no matter what I did, it wasn't going to matter. And he, like, that was just done. Like, yeah. So I was very, very young.
So that reminds me of some experience I had. I just want to ask you, did you sometimes avoid going to your parents' house?
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
So,
but when I was living there, it was hard to avoid them, but I was like, okay, please don't be out there in the garage or have your garage open. I was like, when's the garage shut? So when he did that, like, I mean, I gave him a hug. I'm like, and now, like, it's good, you know? So it was really cool.
I used to carry this imaginary load of coal on my back when I walked through a community that I had done some inappropriate things for, and I'd even avoid going there. I would avoid spending time with my parents because I didn't like the way it felt when I saw their neighbors. And so not only did I have the harm that I'd done to my parents' neighbors, but now I'm continuing the harm by staying away from my parents. And so when we clear that record up, what happened for me, I had no anticipation. But what happened to me was, like you said, I got free, and I feel welcome. I feel like I belong in that community again. And there's no more of that shame.
Yeah, like that was awful. And that was, I think, probably my parents when I met a little unsure whether they had to stay there for the 6 months they were gone this last year. And I had a lot to do with that. She's like, well, Floyd's going to be, you know, Floyd's there and stuff, and he'll be out in the garage. I'm like, Mom, that's 10 years ago. It's water under the bridge. Although I knew it wasn't, you know. And so I'm just so happy that I was so happy that they,
Do you think it had an impact on the relationship that your parents had with their neighbor?
My mom, yeah.
Wow.
Oh, I'm sure it does. My mom has a neurological issues recently, but But yeah, I'm just absolutely. And she was so happy when I told her that. Like, she was almost in tears, you know. It's pretty powerful.
Beautiful. Okay. Let's shift to one last topic and then we'll let you off the hot seat. Let's talk about step 12 and working another. We talked about professionally working in the field of recovery.
Yeah.
And that is one way of helping others, but there's also the work that we do, just as a, what is the right word? Meeting, and we would like again to hear from as many different people as possible. So you've got a list here of folks you know. There's some online and there's some here in person. We'd like to mix that up. So if you just want to call on someone, and again, please keep in mind, just use a couple minutes if you will. I mean, you know, we're not going to shut you down, but if you got something you got to share, man.
I'll start with Corey. Can you hear me, Corey?
Tell us who you are, Corey.
I can do it. You can do it.
I just feel really good. My name is Corey. I'm out.
Hi. Hello, Corey.
I have a house that's almost 6.5 months old.
So maybe you want to, like, and you don't have to, but do you want to share a little bit about when you came into New Vision? Like, did you move from Sacramento, right? And you were kind of in a bad spot. It was really fun.
That was good. Okay, so Perry and I know each other officially with my counseling. It was the first time I went into the program years ago. I'm from Sacramento, so it didn't really work out for me because I guess I was impatient and I guess I wasn't ready. So that's a big thing that I believe is that we have to be ready for ourselves, want it for ourselves. I guess I wasn't. I went back to Sacramento and I ended up back here. But my problems are more criminal problems than the addictions and the drinking that's added to it. So, since I know what you're getting at. What you're getting at was long share. I guess that's how I felt. So when I was in the program the first time, I had two felony warrants. One was for someone hit and run causing injury or death, and the other one was vehicular manslaughter. So I kind of got scared and I left. I left the program, and I went back to Sacramento to run from the problem. And of course, they found me, and I got expedited back to Sierra County for a sentence. and didn't enjoy that either. But I was released early from South Chiba for the medical treatment on a food waiver because I had cancer the second time. Mm-hmm. And so my surgeon wrote a letter saying it was detrimental for my life to be out and have surgery. And I had surgery and I didn't do it. And of course, I'm back into my skin and didn't follow the rules for it. So, violated the food waiver. Didn't go to chemo, didn't do anything. So, I was sick all the time. Mm-hmm. And then it took me a long time to make myself a priority, mm-hmm. my health a priority. So, well, actually it took me, I died. The day before I went into, new patient this time. And then, I was done, you know, so 12 days later, I'm not talking about my diet again. This time I died sober and it really woke me up. It scared me back normal. So, went into a diabetic coma because I didn't know I had, So I had to take care of that, and it did really knock me normal. This time I wanted it, so I stayed in the program, and it made my life, my health a priority. And when I found out I had it again, just in September, and so they kind of made me do. Go to the doctor and it's a perfect one. You know, it's a good thing. So I went to, I wasn't going to take care of it. I wasn't going to tell anyone. And I told him I needed to save my life. So, like she pretty much saved my life because then I found out I had breast cancer and I started getting sober and I was hard to deal with and I tried to accept and when you're sober and you're in pain, it's a different story. But I went through it and I had surgery last Tuesday.
Wow.
And here I am. I mean, like, yeah, sorry. I'm alive. I think I've died four times in my life. But one time I'm sober and I'm like,
yeah.
I'm dead. So this is the longest I've ever been sober for over 25 years. And I mean, it's a new life. It is life. I want to live now. But I've gotten so much back from, even with all the history of my criminal stuff, I still have to take care of responsibility. But I mean, I got my driver's license. That was like a big step for me to what happened. And, shit ever done me, but I love it. No. But now I took care of my health and I had a mission and so I'm going to be, it feels different. I have my kids back. I have friends now, which I never had before. You never have friends out there. And I actually close at least. But I think I opened up a little bit with everyone's help. Over the weekend at the Acupop, I really enjoyed
it. Works.
I had a good time, and I'm kind of, I can have my shoulder.
That's a good deal. Nice. Hey, you're also a great
guy. Okay.
Oh, he doesn't have a microphone.
Okay.
Sorry.
Doug?
Yeah. You don't have glasses,
do you?
Hey, Doug, would you like to share our Dead Love line? Just go ahead and unmute yourself.
Hi, I'm Doug, I'm an alcoholic. Kind of forgot, what's the topic right now?
Doug. Recovery.
Recovery. Okay.
Damn.
Yeah, it's been quite a little bit of a struggle. Not a little bit. It's been a hell of a struggle, actually. I have 2 days sober today. Yeah, I've been having a hard time, you know, admitting I'm powerless over alcohol. I've been journeying down that road again, thinking I could drink normal. I got a lot of people around me that, you know, drink and drink normally, so a lot of people invite me places, and thank God I can just go over there and just hang out and have a couple beers, and it doesn't ever end up that way. So I'm here tonight, back again, trying to figure it out. So that's all I got right now. It's just been a struggle.
Thanks, Doug.
Glad you're here, Doug. Thank you.
Well,
yeah. Thanks, Dave. Desiree, I'm mine. How about you, Desiree?
No, Desiree, alcoholic addict. Everybody for sure, and I'm just, all I gotta say is I'm happy to be here, you know. I'm glad this time around I actually took things seriously, you know. I'm glad I decided to actually get a sponsor, you know, this time, and I'm just, honestly, today I've been thinking, and I actually felt like crying today because, I don't know, I was just thinking about everything, you know, that I've done, how I've hurt people and stuff, you know, and it's like, maybe I shouldn't worry about that right now, you know, because I know I'm in the right place, you know, I'm taking a day at a, one day at a time, and I know that with my sobriety, I won't be hurting people no more, you know, so, I'm glad I got a sponsor, and I'm doing step one with her, and it's good, you know, I love hearing with this, that it's only going to get better, you know, and it's a pretty good program, you know, I'm looking forward to learning more. I'm looking forward to work the steps, you know, and this time I'm very patient, you know, I'm very patient. I'm usually a very impatient person, you know, that I want things now. Like I want, you know, like I would just probably read the book and be like, okay, I'm done with the steps, you know, but this time I know it's going to take a lot of patience and work for me to do, you know, so, I'm glad to be here, you know, I'm glad to be sober, and that's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Desiree.
How about Dan?
There's Dan.
Hi, I'm Dan, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Dan.
You know, Terry and I did a lot of praying on the way over here, and she's a great person. She helps me out at work part-time, and I've known her a long time. That we were just talking over at the Ice House, which is where we first met each other, and of course Bill was there as well. And I was listening to what she was sharing about the primary purpose group, because that's what it took for me. You know, I've been in and out of AA since 1994, so I've been around. Almost raised in AA in a sense, and you know, and come in and out, and the last time I had to literally get desperate. You know, I for so many times I went out, I started saying, you know, oh, I can handle this, or I won't drink. But then the further away I got from AA, the drier I got. And the drier I got, I became a thirsty drinker again. And it failed me. So I had to take that to a point this time where I was desperate. And for whatever reason, God led me to Teddy over at Primary Purpose to be my sponsor. And to go through that program and to get over my pride, I think was the hardest thing that I had to do. Being in AA as long as I had, I thought I had this down. But I had to get desperate enough to get over my pride and start once again as a newcomer. And in doing so, and the way the program is put together at Primary Purpose, where you have to go through page by page, and the workbook to me was more for a translation. Part like Bill was sharing that it's the point they're trying to get across, because sometimes when we're reading the big book, we're reading these big words and we kind of know what they mean, but he would share his experience and then kind of explain what they really meant in their old English and share with you and. You know, having to go page by page and having to actually, I think it's probably the first time I read every page in that book. Been through it a number of times, but it really forced me to get down and dirty and read the book. Read the black. You know, and in doing so and being desperate, I was able to connect spiritually. And once I connected spiritually, it led me down to the next step. And one thing that Teddy had me do was take a step at a time. They're in order for a reason. And you can't go from step 3 to step 9, it just won't work. So it took me a long time, but we went through step by step in order. And like Bill was sharing as well, when we came to a point where we had to do something in that particular step, we would get it done. Like step 4, make sure we got everything written down. And in this workbook, they have the forms to do it. But you didn't rush it, you know. I mean, so many times it was 1, 2, 3 out, 1, 2, 3 out. And you find that common across this program. And being in primary purpose, I couldn't do that. It forced me to take the next step. Before we went from one step to another, we would pray and be spiritually connected and kind of get momentum from each step. You get deeper and deeper in with God and the spiritual side of this program, which is the only way you'll make it, guys. I'm sorry.
So anyway, it's not a self-program.
So by the time you got to the hard ones, 9, etc., that you had the spiritual wherewithal within you to handle these things. And that's why it's so important to take them one at a time, because if you jump ahead, you're not spiritually there yet. So people are going for the steps, I recommend take them in order and take them the way that they're written. And then step 12, I need to open up, is that I lost a sponsee, God, how long has that been? About 6 months ago, maybe longer.
8 months ago.
8 months ago. And a lot of it was COVID. And you know, we were like best friends, you know, and COVID came along and he didn't go to as many meetings and we tried to connect I remember he called me and he said, you know, Dan, I'm just lonely. And the next thing I know, he went out again and he died. He's one of us that through this COVID thing, didn't make it out the other side. He didn't die from COVID, because being away from meetings and people, he could not drink. And I've carried that woman for a while. And it's time for me to open up and say, I need to get back into step 12 again. Because that, to me, is one of the beauties of this program is giving it back to others. And it's so important to have that sponsorship, because you, as you go back through the book with them, you're revisiting them. And it keeps you healthy and it keeps you focused on what you need to do in your own life while helping others. And so I just want to share that I've got to get back and start taking on new sponsees, because I got to get over this wound and God's ready for me to take that next step. Thank you for letting me share, Carol.
Thank you.
Shadow online, are you, I don't see a microphone. Christian? How about Christian online? Would you like to unmute yourself and share? I'm not seeing any action on Christian.
Okay.
How about Erica?
Hi, my name is Erica. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Erica.
Hey, Terry. I'm so happy to hear you share. I have not seen you in so long, and I'm sad that I'm not there to give you a hug and say hello. I loved all the, you know, I'm not there right now, but I feel the energy in the room, and I just feel like so grateful for this conference that we had over the weekend here in town. It gave me like a new just fire for my recovery and, you know, practicing the steps. Like I did step work today and just feeling grateful that I'm alive and I'm sober and I can share it with the people in my community. You know what I mean? And try to extend the hand of AA to other people and, you know, let them see that this can be a fun experience. It can be a spiritual experience, or it is a spiritual experience. And, you know, it's just brought so much happiness to my life. Like, I can't imagine, you know, I just can't imagine my life without the spirituality that AA has brought me. And, I just hope everyone has that same experience, to be honest. You know, I did a step one exercise on, being powerless, basically. And I heard someone else talking about powerlessness. And, you know, I basically just put on paper, like, I think there was like 3 years that I was, you know, in just like a downward spiral of, alcoholism and all the experiences that showed me that, I am powerless over alcohol, and putting that to paper, you know, reading it out loud, was a powerful thing for me today. I just like really sat down and I got serious about it. And, it was just, insightful. You know, I know I'm an alcoholic. I've been in AA for 5 years, and, sometimes you just need those reminders, you know, and it just helps. It helps. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Erica. Yes, Erica.
Well said. We have room for probably one more.
Okay. Does anybody listening, does anybody like to share?
Oh, and what's your name?
My name is Nicholas.
Hey, Nicholas. I got this message inside. I'm not sure if I remember exactly where to start, but I believe things happen beyond coincidence, and that goes for the good and the bad both. Mm-hmm. And I feel
like.
I'm in Pine Recovery, and I'm about to exit soon and go home and to a very sober living environment, except for my brother, really best friend of mine. He can casually drink. He's one of those where we take our hats off to, you know. And he asked me the other day, if you come home, can you drink, like, once in a great while? Do you think you're going to be able to handle that? And, I thought about it, and I was like, you know what, let's just play that by ear. And the more I thought about it, I shared it with a few people. People were like, oh, no, you need to stay there another 30 days in the program. Or, you know, they told me, you know, very, very loudly, you know, that's just a bad idea. And, of course, I agreed and things of that nature. But in the process of my thinking, I thought about what I would do if I were to drink. And I remember when I first got into AA, I was more of one of those guys that said, oh, I'm NA, not AA. You know, because I feel like I had more of a resounding drug issue than I did with alcohol. But taking a reflection on my past, I realized that my alcohol bone was connected to my weed bone, my weed bone is connected to my dope bone, and they're all just in a complementing relationship. None is bigger than the other. It's just a matter of a malady that I have. And I started thinking about it, and I realized that if I did take a drink, I would want to chase that euphoric feeling the next day, just like as if it was crack, you know what I mean, or dope, or weed, or anything. I think that I would make an excuse to want to get drunk the next day. And so, in having these reservations, I've also had other friends that have their own personal life issues. And it reminds me of service. So going back to things happening beyond coincidence, I feel as if we all have these refining moments, these moments where we are going to come across friction. And it's happening for a reason. We go through these struggles because we can give it back. We can be of service to other people. Mm-hmm. and have these experiences. I believe maturity is an ongoing series of epiphanies, and we have to go through these up and down moments in order to be a benefit to others. And that's all I have.
That's great. Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Sure, my name is Matt. I'm an alcoholic. When I was new sober, I was sober probably 3 years, and I was working for a fella. He was having his big old birthday party. He could be kind of a fella, and he had a big old shop, and he said, "Matt, would you flip me your band in and play for my 50th birthday party?" I said, "Sure." And so we assembled everything, and the day that we were setting up the stage and the lights, the sound system, all the instruments and everything, he comes to me and he says, "Now, there's going to be drinking here. You know this?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Is this going to bother you?" I said, "No. Here's why. If it's odd to me, if it's not normal to me for you to drink and me not to, I'm going to normalize. I'm going to grab you a beer. But I have to accept that this is the new normal." And guys and girl, I said, "That's ya. The new normal is you can and I can't. So let's party." And that was on. Then I had a great time. And so my point is, we accepted a new normal. And we both learned about that. And we'll kind of thanks, Matt. I'll
hey, Matt.
Matt.
Thank you.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Matt. It's only a quick minute to do some group business. And then if there's some time left, we'll wrap up with the share, maybe. I'm going to call my name Bill Hatchman. I'm the secretary here. We have Dave is our literature guy, and Erica is our CSR, and.